From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 25th day of June, 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. I'll update you on the weather forecast as Don Day is away this afternoon. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, by the way. We'll take a look at the USDA crop progress reports released yesterday afternoon. I checked in with Nebraska to see how they were doing. And we'll get an update on what the agricultural energies in Kansas looks like. We'll talk with K-State University's Dan O'Brien right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, July corn finished 0.75 cents higher today at $4.47.5, December at $4.57.5, a quarter higher, and March down a penny at $4.62, July down three at $4.63.75. July soybeans 5.5 lower for the day, November down 6.25 at $9.26.5, and January down 7.25 at $9.38.25. Next year's July at $9.55, 8.25 lower for the new crop soybeans. Bean oil down 35 cents at $28. Even the bean meal at $3.15.70, $1.90 lower. July soft red winter wheat down 2.25 at $5.35.75, and live cattle futures finished the June contract 82.5 cents higher at $107.75. The feeders in the August at $131.32.5. Down 45 cents in July lean hogs for the day at $74.40, finished $1.55 higher. Now joining us to take a look at these numbers and talk a bit about them is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Hey, Wayne, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, great to be here, Todd.
So what happened in Chicago today?
Well, we started the last night and first thing this morning with a little enthusiasm for the poor crop ratings and what they were expecting. Everybody was expecting to be steady to maybe a percent better than the week before, and they actually dropped a little bit. And then later as the day went on, I think some of the news shifted to the weather forecast, a little drier and warmer, which we've been needing a lot of places, and that basically now, you know, planning's pretty well all but over, and it's time to wait and see what we really got. And I think that the bull run out of steam, and we were talking a little bit about the idea of there's not a lot of optimism of the meeting at the G20 meeting get any good results as of right now, or it's seeming to sort of back up that way.
Yeah, there will be a story coming up momentarily, and I picked this up from CNN, but yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, Secretary Perdue was at the Iowa tractor ride, and he didn't sound all that enthused about the prospects for this meeting or for a China agreement, suggesting that maybe by the end of the year and we could begin negotiations at this G20 or something along those lines, I believe.
You know, it'd be awfully nice. We're hearing of Christmas sweaters coming into the U.S. being shipped early by the Chinese to some of the major stores because they want to beat this next tariff that might go on. So that doesn't help the thoughts of it either.
Yeah, so that would be coming in the month of July, depending on what the president does. Although there are a lot of folks on Capitol Hill from all kinds of places now testifying in front of Congress. There should be a lot of pressure on the president, I would think, not to impose these tariffs.
Well, I think that would be good for the agricultural world, that's for sure, and probably the rest of the businesses, too. We do need to try to maintain some of our exports so that we can keep up and not make anybody else mad. You know, another thing as we got coming up, of course, Friday, generally these are not tremendously big numbers, but we should have the best guesstimate they can come up with for intended acres planted that would be different from the earlier report that would, of course, be lower. A lot of differential thinking that the government might save 5 million less acres of corn, but most of the analysts are thinking more 7 to 8 million less. But looking for that number to be a little bigger. Also, the stocks numbers come out, how much corn is left on hand, how many beans is left on hand, and how's that going to do for our carryout and figuring in what we're trying to do? So some real big numbers coming out Friday.
Yeah, those acreage and grain stocks numbers are due out at 11 o'clock. You can find them on our website at willag.org. Back to yesterday's reports in the afternoon, the weekly crop progress report. Anything out of those other than not quite as far along as or in as good a shape as maybe we had expected? Anything else that stuck out from those from one state or another? I saw that Nebraska, for instance, 77% good to excellent. excellent on their corn.
Yeah, Nebraska's looking good. Something was mentioned this morning was the agronomist from Purdue that was a graduate of Nebraska and Minnesota, but was still saying the crop was going to be poorer than looking at. There's still 4 million acres of intended corn yet to be planted, most of that being in Ohio, Indiana, and Missouri, and around that area. So, you know, there is a lot yet to go in, and that's a sort of a question mark whether it will at this late date. But the farmer's not selling much now until he sees pollination, and so for as far as the commercials to run it up right now, they aren't drawing anything out. So they're going to sit back and just maybe on the board if they want to.
It is a wait-and-see time of the year, I take it.
Oh, yes.
Hey, thanks so much. We'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. You can find and listen to him again online at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, President Donald J. Trump will be headed to Japan in just a few days for an end-of-the-week G20 meeting. He's scheduled to meet with China's President Xi Jinping there for a face-to-face on the trade negotiations. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue at the Iowa tractor ride said he doesn't expect much to come out of the negotiations, but that it could restart something which might end up with a deal by the end of the year.
I don't think he'll come home with a deal, but I think he could come home with a beginning of let's really get serious about negotiation. I'd love to see a resolution by the end of this year.
The secretary made his comments to a CNN reporter while he was in Iowa. Well, U.S. Senators Dick Durbin, a Democrat of Illinois, and Chuck Grassley, of course a Republican from Iowa, both members of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, today led a bipartisan group of senators urging the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to update an outdated environmental analysis on ethanol in order to improve foreign sales opportunities. Peer-reviewed science conducted by USDA has affirmed U.S. ethanol lowers greenhouse gas emissions between 39% to 43%, better than gasoline. EPA has rejected all calls to update these calculations, instead using data that is nearly 10 years old, which ignores the technological advances in ethanol production. Along with Durbin and Grassley, the letter was also signed by Senators Joni Ernst of Iowa, Tina Smith from Minnesota, John Thune from South Dakota, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Roy Blunt of Missouri, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Tammy Duckworth from Illinois, Deb Fisher of Nebraska, and Josh Hawley of Missouri. And finally, today we'll come back to trade. The pesticides industry is asking the Trump administration to exempt its chemical imports from China from the potential $300 billion in new 25% tariffs the president is threatening to impose next month on China's goods. CropLife America and a specialty chemical trade group filed complaints with the U.S. Trade Representative's office. Those comments say the tariffs would hit a wide range of products that farmers rely on to do their jobs. Those products would include glyphosate, 2,4-D, atrazine, and dicamba. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows around the nation 96% of the corn has now been sown. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 100%. 89% of the crop is up and growing. 99% is the rolling five-year average. It's said to be in 48% good and 8% excellent condition. That's down from the previous week, which was at 52% and 7% respectively. Soybeans around the nation have been sown to the 85% level. 97% is the rolling five-year average. 71% of the crop that is in the ground has emerged. The rolling five-year average is 91%. 47% of the crop is said to be in good condition, 7% in excellent condition. Winter wheat is headed at the rate of about 94% of the crop around the nation. The rolling five-year average, 99%. 15% of that crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 34%, and it's in 46% good and 15% excellent condition. Here are the state statisticians from Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Another wet week as showers and thunderstorms moved through the state meant Iowa farmers had limited opportunities for field work during the weekend in June 23, 2019. Statewide, there were just 3.1 days suitable for fieldwork. Fieldwork activities included planting, harvesting hay, spraying, and applying nitrogen. Topsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 1% short, 68% adequate, and 31% surplus. 96% of the expected corn crop has emerged, 2 weeks behind last year and 15 days behind the 5-year average. Corn condition improved to 62% good to excellent. 95% of the expected soybean crop has been planted, 2 weeks behind average. 81% of the crop has emerged over 2 weeks behind last year and average. Soybean condition rated 63% good to excellent, also an improvement from the last report. Oats headed reached 58%, 8 days behind last year and average, while 3% of the crop has started coloring. Oat condition rated 63% good to excellent. Wet conditions slowed progress on the first cutting of alfalfa hay, which is 73% of the crop harvested statewide, nearly 2 weeks behind average. Hay condition rated 66% good to excellent. Pasture condition continued to improve and rated 69% good to excellent. Feedlots were muddy after recent rainfalls. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois weather was cooler than normal last week and also a good deal wetter than average. Temperatures averaged 69.7 degrees across the prairie state, nearly 4 degrees below normal. Rainfall ranged from nearly 1 inch to more than 3 inches across the state. The overall average was 2.19 inches last week, which was more than 1 inch above normal. There was an average of only 2.2 days suitable for field work around Illinois last week. Topsoil moisture levels increased and are now rated 43% adequate and 57% surplus. Corn planting crept forward to 92% finished compared to 100% for the 5-year average. 84% of corn acres have emerged compared to 100% normally. The condition of the Illinois corn crop declined a little and was now rated as 17% very poor to poor, 36% fair, and 47% good to excellent. Soybean planting is now 79% finished compared to 97% normally. 67% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 93% normally. The first condition for Illinois soybeans shows 18% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 40% fair, and 42% in good to excellent condition. Turning now to winter wheat. 15% of acres have been harvested compared to 61% 1 year ago and 47% normally. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop declined a little and was rated 26% very poor to poor, 47% fair, and 27% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 78% finished compared to 94% normally. The second cutting of alfalfa hay is 3% finished compared to 18% normally. Other hay harvest is 68% finished compared to 89% normally. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Brian Gallagher with the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. Despite the overall unseasonably cool weather throughout Minnesota, there were 4.5 days suitable for fieldwork during the week ending June 23, 2019. Planting is winding down in Minnesota as operators turn to spraying their crops as conditions allow. Some side dressing of cornfields were reported. Cooler than normal temperatures are still slowing crop development. However, crops continued to emerge this week, and reporters have observed a small improvement in most crop conditions. Topsoil moisture condition was rated 0% very short, 3% short, 72% adequate, and 25% surplus. Minnesota corn emergence reached 96% this week, 2 weeks behind last year and the 5-year average. Corn condition was rated at 59% good to excellent, slightly improved from the previous week. Soybeans planted near completion, however, there are still some acres intended to be planted. 87% of the soybean crop had emerged, nearly 2 weeks behind last year and the average. Soybean condition rated 66% good to excellent. 67% of the spring wheat crop had jointed, 5 days behind average. Spring wheat headed reached 14% this week, 6 days behind normal. Spring wheat condition rated 83% good to excellent. First cutting of alfalfa hay was 74% complete, 3 days behind last year and the 5-year average. All hay condition rated 75% good to excellent, improving from the previous week. Pasture condition rated 68% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brian Gallagher.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. One other place we should probably check in on this week, Nebraska, which raises the third largest corn crop in the nation. It's in the best condition, by the way, at 77% good or excellent. 100% of that crop is up and growing, and 95% of it has emerged. Let's check the agricultural energies now. Dan O'Brien from Kansas State University joins us. He's going to go through a whole bunch of things, including what's been happening in the ethanol market for us. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Yes, Todd. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. So let's start with corn and ethanol. How's it doing? I know you run a plant, relatively speaking, a metaphorical plant, I suppose.
Plant on paper, yes.
Yeah, plant on paper. What's it look like today in Iowa?
Well, it looks like a down 22 cent per gallon proposition right now. The cost of corn inputs has jumped up here within the in looking at the first about 3 weeks in June. So we've got corn cost per gallon of about total cost for a gallon of production about $1.66. The price is about $1.45. So you know, doing the math, we're looking at 20 some cents down, and that's just about the same as it was, in the month of May. So tougher times. The good part is that the price of ethanol itself has moved to the higher side. You know, jumped up at least by our calculations. When you look at the weekly prices averaging them together, et cetera, it jumped from $1.29 in May up to $1.45 or so again in June. But the jump up in the price of corn is enough that it's kind of overpowered the increase in ethanol. That may not always be the case. Again, we'll have to see how the corn markets in your part of the country and mine both work out in terms of production and bushels and stocks to use and prices. But as of right now, the run up in corn input prices is ruling the day at this point.
And of course, that's an ethanol plant on paper in Iowa. Do you do the same thing for biodiesel plants?
I do. I'm still working on the biodiesel numbers for this coming month, and you know, I guess the safest thing to say is that the dynamics of that market with whatever's happening in biodiesel are probably not too dissimilar. But I think there's so much uncertainty now in terms of this, of what planted acres are for these crops. What, with late planting so prevalent, what our yields will be, especially for corn, but you know, concerns for soybeans is more so in your country. You can speak to that better than I can in terms of what you've seen, and all of that, and you know, what demand base, or pardon me, what resource base will we have for running ethanol and biodiesel plants heading off into the fall of 2019 and for the rest of that marketing year. That's going to be a big, big thing.
And the one crop, and we can talk about some of this in Washington County and other places, soft red, which actually has been a pretty good harvest so far, but we're not sure what's happening in Kansas. What can you tell us there?
Harvest is delayed. All the cool weather has affected us. We've had a lot of moisture, a lot of talk about bushels being very good. We're really waiting to see, hoping for the quality not to drop off with all the stress the crops had and the more than abundant moisture that it's been dealing with. So we would be fortunate and glad to have an average protein crop this year, given the conditions we've had. And I guess, you know, we won't know until we actually get all that out of the bin. It is interesting, out of the field into the bins. It is interesting to hear of lower plantings of hard red spring wheat. Again, you and I are at, we're concerned about soft red and hard red winter. Well, that, you know, if we do have protein issues, well, where do buyers of U.S. wheat go? Well, they go to hard red spring to blend and to cover the need. Well, some issues up in our northern hard red spring wheat neighbor's backyard as well. So a more than interesting set of market conditions. And, you know, wheat prices, wheat futures prices are not bad, gosh, $4 or $5. And so it's a thought-provoking deal. One thing in our part of the world, and I don't know if you'll see this in your soft red country as much, but if we run short on corn production, then you know, we have a history of being able to effectively feed hard red winter wheat. If we get a lot of low protein hard red winter wheat out there, we you know, it could be welcomed with open arms by livestock feeders and even plant operators, if they can you know, figure out the chemical processes correctly to keep the plants going. If we're really, really short of these major feed grains, so could be a reset in a number of these markets, and wheat included, given the carryover spillover impacts from what's shaping up to be a pretty challenged feed grain crop.
Last week you were in Athens, Greece, with U.S. Grains Council. What kind of FY19-20 numbers did they show you, and what was most interesting?
Well, for them, they're looking at world coarse grains, and of course, the best numbers they had were the USDA numbers, and there are other sources from around the globe, of course. So we were looking at the bigger picture at a number of things, but one of them was to put the world coarse grain supply demand numbers up there, and to try to think through what the impact of 1 billion less bushels of U.S. corn, which is 25.4 million metric tons, what that does to the world coarse grain supply demand balance sheet. Well, take the production and supply number down by 25.4 billion. Take the usage number down, probably, you know, some degree less than that because of rationing. But take the stocks number, which has been declining for about three or four years already. Take that down by the other half of what's of the rations used. So let's say down 1 billion bushels. Use that scenario. If the usage gets rationed down to half of that, you know, so 12.7 billion bushels of lower usage, and then you'd have ending stocks down 12.4 billion bushels. You're not that far from 300 to 320, 310 million metric tons. Stocks to use goes from about 22.5 down to 20. So an international buyer sitting there looking at that situation, and I guess it remains to be seen what they'll do. Do they anticipate, gosh, there's a problem coming, and be aggressive in buying ahead, or do they wait and see what happens? It will be really interesting. I think they may buy. There's impetus to not be the last one to the trough.
That, of course, is Dan O'Brien. He is with K-State University. Helps us take a look at agricultural energies once a month here on the Closing Market Report. Don't forget that you can always find us online at willag.org. That does wrap up this edition for Tuesday, the 25th day of June. Our programming content is a production of Illinois Public Media and University of Illinois Extension. You can find the Closing Market Report online at willag.org, willag.org, or look for us in iTunes, the Google Play Store, SoundCloud, Spotify, and on the NPR One app. It's all on demand, anytime you'd like to listen to it in its entirety. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a very productive afternoon.